Welcome to the Talkover Podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talkover Podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
Crispy
biscuit.
Talkover Podcast.
Crispy biscuit. Double looks like Mr. Wilson.
I thought you were gonna say Will Smith. I'm looking like Will Smith out here, bro.
The beard is hench-tastico, bruv.
I'm on my Viking shit right now.
I feel
I shouldn't be on camera.
Yeah, I should look at it. Backdrop fix still. I totally forgot that we were gonna be doing a video to this one, yeah. So I need to skirt this around a little bit so I can get myself.
There's ways you can fix your backdrop, bruv.
This guy's a dickhead. I can do that shit too, right?
Yeah, go to virtual background.
I don't know how to.
If it was crispy and clear, I would do this. It just looks sick, but because it's a little bit glitchy because of the colours, it looks shit. There we go.
Yo, man's in the grass. Man's in the gut. I'm going Iceland. I'm going to Iceland.
We should have done all this before we push record.
Ah, it's all good. It's all good. We're in. What's going on, my G? We're back on YouTube, you know.
Back on YouTube. Back on video, bruv. How did we? It's mental, right? How do we not know that this was a thing before quarantine hit? Think about.
Has Zoom been around for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Zoom's been around for a while. I wish I'd known about Zoom before I started driving. For those people that are new to the podcast, new listeners, when we first started, I used to drive from Kent to Manchester to record episodes so that we could be in the same room and have the visuals. And obviously Zoom, we've literally, I've just gone to the studio and sat down and pushed.
Quarantine has actually forced people to look into other ways of doing stuff, innit? Like, I didn't know what Zoom was before all this went on. I had no idea, but this is actually groundbreaking stuff, mate. This is lit. Yeah. Like, we can get our... This is going to make our life so much easier, anyway.
Mate, so much easier. And also, you know what it is? It's one step away. You know, you watch, like, science fiction films, and they're having conferences, but it's all holograms. They're all sat around a table, but it's everyone's hologram. I think I saw it on a Star Wars movie, like, loads of futuristic films. This is like one step away now from having holograms. I feel like the next thing will be 3D screens where you'll be there, but you'll be in 3D. And then after that, that's it. Boom, holograms.
We're in the future, my G. And do you know what? I've got loads of people walking past outside. Social distancing.
They were like 5 seconds apart. It's all right. They were socially distant.
As long as no one knocks on my door. I'm in my studio, by the way. What? I had to come here because I've got good internet. Can't risk sounding like you, robot thing with a dodgy dial up.
No, is it glitchy on your side?
I'm glitchy. Oh no, you're a little bit glitchy, but it's all good. It's all good.
That's not all good.
I was locked into. Go on. What's going on anyway, my G? How's the weekend been? How's life?
I wish every week. Previously, I used to come with a story, and now I just feel like my stories have dried up because every weekend it's the same thing.
For real?
I've been in my house, funnily enough.
I know, it's mad, isn't it, man? Like, literally, what are we on? 6 weeks? We're 6 weeks deep now, isn't it?
I think it's seven.
Seven. There's a review this week for the lockdown. I'm hearing rumours that it's going to get lifted on Sunday, whether that's a myth or not. That's what I'm reading. On a positive note, I got my... acceptance date where I can fill in for my money for self-employment, 15th of May at 8 a.m. There is a link There's a link out online where you can go in and put your details in, your unique reference number, and it tells you when you're eligible and when you can apply from. So
What's that on HMRC?
Yeah, that's on HMRC. I'll send you the link. So I filled it out today and they said I am eligible from the 15th of May to fill out what's needed, and hopefully. Because obviously 6 weeks without making an absolute penny now, mate, and it's starting to add up. I didn't realize. Listen, food, bro. obviously I just normally live on the road, but since I'm eating way more, I'm eating better, but I'm eating more, and I'm realizing how much I'm eating better, but I'm eating more. Like, there's no McDonald's, all that's gone out the window, obviously, because it's closed.
Yeah,
I'm spending peas on food, bro. The shopping trips are killer, man. I feel like I'm going I feel like I'm in Tesco like every other day, man. It's not a joke. And then obviously I invested a little bit of money into some like equipment which was needed to obviously move a project that I'm working on. So yeah, I've spent a bit, but I'm not making anything. So that email today was a breath of fresh air, mate. I'm telling you.
I'm lucky, bruv. I've spent, I think in the last 2 weeks, no bullshit, I think I've spent £60 in the last 2 weeks.
Really? That's it? On food?
Yeah. I think this thing coming out the back of this year, it's going to change my spending habits, I think.
Okay. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree, man.
There's properly been times, yeah, where I literally, like, just for example, this capture card for the DSLRs, and also for like actually for gaming, because I thought, you know what, I spend a lot of time gaming, I might as well start streaming it and just see what happens.
Makes sense.
So I've been looking at capture cards, but I'm just like, I don't really need it right now. I want it. So I've just been looking. I've set myself a limit on eBay. And if I'm looking at a bid, if it goes above that limit, I just exit. Boom. See ya.
Okay.
Just not bothered. I'm not bothered about getting a brand new one. And there's so many different things now where I've been online looking and I'm just like, oh, I could get that now. Actually, that'll help me. And then I thought, you know what? I don't need it. Previously, I'd be like, yeah, sick, boom. I've got so much equipment in the studio that's obsolete now because I bought it when I thought I needed it or just wanted it, used it a little bit, and then just dashed it. Like, don't need it. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, so much stuff.
I feel like, do you know what it is, bro? Because I've invested in loads of gear over the years and have impulse bought stuff, like you just said. I feel like now all them purchases have kind of paid off, even though they were all bought for specific reasons. Now that I'm trying to pull this stuff together for Compound, I've actually got everything that is needed to really do something at a high level. Do you know what I mean? So I kind of, even though at the time I really may not have needed it, but wanted it, and I've got it. But like now I look at it, all the gear, I think wifey said to me the other day, she's like, all them purchases you've made, literally, you won't be able to do what you do. You won't be able to do this project without the stuff that you've got. So I kind of got lucky there.
I feel like for you, that's what put you, like, because obviously you launched your main streaming platform last night with the Compound stuff.
Yes, sir.
And for you, in terms of quality, I haven't seen a better online stream. Like, you've got the best quality one that I've seen. And I've seen
other good ones,
but yours has been the best quality. But I feel like for you, you put yourself ahead because you've got a laptop for your videos and a laptop for Serato.
Exactly.
And so you're able to stream. For me, I've got an old studio computer that just about keeps up. It's not top quality. And I do get some dropouts when I've streamed a couple of times.
I feel like I see people tweeting like, oh, you don't really need all the gear and like you can still do this and do that. And I get that fully, but I just feel like I'm one of them dudes, man, where if I'm going to do it, I got to make sure I do it properly. And obviously I already had the gear, but I just feel like there's so much content out there now and so many people are doing it. Like, I want to just try and set a high level and to set myself apart from what's already currently going on. Do you know what I mean? I don't just want to build a little something just to get me through like the quarantine or I'm doing streams. Like, if I can use it as an opportunity to build something completely fresh that can be carried further on and maybe built into some sort of business or a bigger platform with other branches off it. Like, that's my idea, innit? Like, I soon realized streaming, obviously Insta streaming is dope. Some people are absolutely winning off it. But for me, I just wanted it to have more substance than just playing the current bangers on a Friday and Saturday night and making it pop. Like, I'm still going to stream. I'm still going to have a little go at it, of course, because it's what I love to do. But I'd rather build something with a bit of meaning, a bit more like feeling and thought and substance into it. Do you know what I mean?
I just think like the Insta thing is cool for quarantine, yeah, but... The problem with it is, as soon as this is over, as soon as we're out of lockdown, Instagram streaming, people are not just sat at home looking at their phones. So your numbers are going to drop right off.
Yep.
And I've said it, I think I've said it a few times now on the podcast, like Instagram streaming is cool as a quick 10 minutes to introduce, right? I'm live on YouTube or I'm live on Twitch or I'm live on Mixcloud. Come and join me. Not for the whole set. Mm-hmm. Because if you're getting perfect audio, you're getting locked off. Yep. And if it's not perfect audio, why are people listening? I don't get it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I feel like the ones that are rough around the edges, bro, they win. The rough around the edges ones are winning. Like we were just talking about it, the 10v10 thing. Like that sounds like pirate radio. 600,000 people locked in last night. Like,
mental.
I think if the concept is there, bro, like, and it's bang and it bangs, I think people will allow the audio quality a little bit. Like some of the streams I've seen with mad numbers, and I'm thinking. Some people don't care. Like some people don't care. Like
That was the thing that I was going to bring up. Is do you think, like, as like proper music fans and as actual like real? Do you know what I mean? Me and you like both take pride in the quality of what we're doing, which is why when it comes to our equipment and our output, we do it the best quality possible. Mm-hmm. Do you think that even matters to normal people? If like you can just go on, I can just fucking IG live and just stream using my phone microphone, so there's no proper sound quality. It's just the tunes. Like, do you think normal people care? Do we overthink it and do we put too much?
Yeah, we definitely overthink it. But I'm not going to change my outlook on it because other people don't give a shit. Because then where does that put me? I care about what I'm putting out. I want my shit. And most of my feedback last night, yo, that looks and sounds lit. Like, I want it to look and sound lit, but then also musically be on point. Do you know what I mean? So if I can have all three, then just it sounds shit, but the music's lit, or it sounds lit and the music's lit and it looks lit. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the difference. Yeah, the average person don't care, but when it's blown up on the screens last night through YouTube and Twitch, and I'm seeing people posting and it looks crisp on the big screen, that's when I'm like, this can actually be something. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You can't. Yeah, you can watch Insta on your telly, but you're watching in a fucking doorway. I mean, I'm not hating on that. Like, it works for some people, but for me, do you know what I mean? It's for some. It's just not for me. Do you know what I mean? Man's out here like this. I can't even do it. So yeah.
Welcome
to the quarantine streaming, fucking doorway. Streaming.
Quarantine, him just a cook.
Like, don't get me wrong, right? It works for some people, but that's just, I've always had this thing about quality, man. Like, and if I can start it at that level and set it high, and then I know I've got other plans to filter into it, like that was just the starting point. So, yeah, the average person probably doesn't care. Probably
the way that I look at it, is my content. So, for example, like, my actual solo content, the main thing that I do is interviews in it. Like that's where I've channeled a lot of my energy, is long in-depth interviews with artists. So for example, the people that consume stuff on Instagram are not my target audience, because the majority of them, first of all, don't care about the in-depth side of it. Secondly, they can't watch something for more than 2 minutes.
Because
do you know what I mean? Like they don't have the attention span. So like, I feel like that's where me and you differ from the and I'm not saying anything bad, just so before anyone gets like upset about any of this, I'm not disrespecting anyone or saying anything bad about the people that do the Instagram live. Like whatever works for you works, isn't it? But I'm just saying from my point of view, the reason I put the emphasis in the quality and the reason that I refuse to stream on Instagram live is because that's not the audience I'm going for.
Yeah.
Because when this quarantine's over, cool, you might be getting 10,000 people on your IG live now, but in 6 months' time, when the world is open again, bruv, you're going to be lucky to get 300 on a Friday night.
It's going to boil down to whether you can flip that audience into something afterwards. If you can maneuver that to a place where you're going to leave and you can put 3,000 people in a giant rave and they're all going to buy a ticket, you're gone clear. Like you're gonna win.
But that's the thing. Fully.
It's whether that wave. Flip.
They're not on Instagram then, so that's different. Like if you can use that opportunity to actually bring them into something in the real life, which you can actually turn into something, then sick, you're gonna win.
I feel that's why building a brand is important. Like, and with the compound thing, that's the angle I went for. If I can build a brand that's got more around it, and it's and people buy into this ethos, then afterwards it can be carried, and that can be branched into events or whatever. Like, it's do you know what I mean? The windows are open there. If it's just alive, who's to say when the world goes back to normal, man aren't just going to unplug and carry on?
Yeah,
like, you just don't know. If you can engage everyone and you can keep them on side, you're winning. Like Continental GT, DJ from Brum, he's flipped it. Like, he's got thousands in his live, and he's already talking about events and stuff after this, and he's already he's got his outlay. He's probably going to do really well. And there's a few other DJs that are doing it that are probably Silk, what? Bro. Silk had 2,000 people in his live on Saturday playing Bashment, people from all over the country.
Yeah, okay, but just on the flip side of that, that's great.
Yeah.
And that helps his brand during this time. But if he decides, where's Silk from? Is he from London?
No, I think he's Wolves, but he's based in Brum.
Okay, so that's cool. So if he, coming out of this, let's use Continental as an example, because I can back this up with some facts, right? So Continental had a few thousand people in there. Now, he's from Birmingham?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure.
But he had a lot of the artists and personalities from London in his live.
Yeah,
if he puts a rave on in the Midlands, how many of them are really going all the way to Birmingham to do that?
That's true.
How many people? And if he's got people from Portsmouth, people from Edinburgh, people from Paris, people from Berlin, all watching his live, that amount to the however many thousand that were in there, how can you pull that audience into a local rave? It's impossible. Do you know what I mean?
I won't say it's impossible. It's not impossible, bro, because you look at, it depends how much it grows. He's only been here for what? He's only been doing it 3 weeks. If this carries on for months and months and they grow, there's no reason why you can't put on a festival. People are willing to travel for that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you've got to have a massive pocket to fund a festival.
Well, yeah.
Most festivals don't make money on their first time either.
Yeah, 100. Or even a big club type rave like what you do at Warehouse. Do you know what I mean? It's not a festival, but it's 3,000 people in a giant club. People come all over the country for Warehouse. In Manny.
Possibly. If you play it right, yeah, I guess so. I
think it's early doors, isn't it? It's early doors, bro. If he's done that in 3 weeks and it's consistent, if it can grow, if you can keep growing it and engage the people in the right way, I think you can do it, man. But yeah,
I'm not saying it's impossible, but
it's unknown territory, isn't it? Right. We don't know where this is going to go. We don't know.
It's unprecedented.
It's
unprecedented.
The game,
times.
Bro. The game is changing completely. Last night, one of the DJs from the 10v10. After the show finishes, he goes on live. He's got 10,000 people in there. The game is changing right now, bro. The game is changing. It doesn't matter no more. If you shit bangs online,
it does come back to that thing of followers doesn't equal long-term financial security.
Yeah, 100%.
Unless you play the game right.
Exactly, you got to be smart. That's the key. If you can flip that and you're smart, you're gonna win. If it bubbles down the other end and you don't use your brain, you're just gonna get washed away.
I hate to always bring the conversation up, because I feel like recently I have brought this whole streaming conversation.
Jones is in the waiting room.
So we've got a guest coming on today. We've got a guest joining us on the podcast.
we decided to jump in early. Should we make him wait?
No. Bring him in. Let's bring him in.
Bring him in. I'll bring him in.
I'll make the point. I'll make the point as well.
He should pop up. Where is he?
He's going to take a minute to connect to video and audio. But yeah, so what I'm saying is, I hate to talk about the money side every time. Yo, can you hear us? Make sure you connect to your audio. Push the connect audio button. There we go. He's joining.
Jonesy.
Yes, fellas. What's going on?
There he is. He's sounding crispy as well. Lovely.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
He's looking super healthy now, aren't you, Jonesy? Look at him. He's getting that vitamin D in.
Bro, I ain't gonna lie. I've been in the back garden most of the time, just chilling at the back garden, looking after my son and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Good stuff, man. It's taking in that sunshine.
It's lockdown. Do you know what I mean?
How's the weather down there, dude? Is it sunny? Yeah.
It's sunny today. It's been lovely, bro. Whole of April, I've never known an April like it. It's been amazing down here. Yeah.
No, you're chilling.
But I don't know. I don't know what. How about you guys? You had some nice weather as well. Where you at?
Bro, I don't even have a garden, man, so it's peak for me. But I don't know about double.
he's up on the fifth floor trying to get out on the balcony. Bro, yeah, it's been sick. I'm in Kent, innit? So we had like 5 or 6 weeks of just solid sunshine. And in the last week's been crap because it's been rainy. But yeah, up until then.
And you know what it's like? You got children, bro. Like, that's the best time. Like, when the weather's nice outside, you get them out, get them running around, get them tired.
I fully can't relate to this conversation, guys.
he lives in a penthouse with no children.
No. Yeah. The missus actually said it before. She's like, should we have one? I was like, you just out of nowhere. I was like, really?
Perfect time now.
Yeah, but why not?
Do you know what I mean? It's actually a perfect time. Flipping. Yeah. I'm not ready, guys. I don't know how you do it. I'm telling you. Fair play. I can just about look after myself.
Jonesy, how old's your son?
He is two, just two.
Oh, okay, right. So you're not in the realms of homeschooling just yet.
Not yet, bro. No. What's that saying?
Double is non-existent right now. I can't even hear from him. Like, he's look at his beard. That's the sign of a stressful man.
Look at my hair. Like, I'm a broken man.
I was about to say that everyone. It's epic, bro. It's looking phenomenal.
Yeah, it's going. I'm going on. Like I said earlier, I'm going on some Viking stuff right now.
Looking phenomenal, mate.
What's the guy? What's the Tom Castaway? I'm telling you, bruv.
Yeah, Chuck Nolan. Chuck Nolan is his name.
He's got it going on.
Paul Wilson at Wilson.
Oh my days. So you guys having kids then? It's obviously a good time to spend. So obviously, I was going to say, you two having kids, bro, like, you don't get to spend this much time at home normally, obviously.
It's amazing, bro. It's amazing. Like, I've really enjoyed just spending like quality time with him, because I do spend a lot of time with him, because a lot of people, you know, it's like, people will say to Misty, my partner, they'll be like, oh, I bet you never see your partner and this and this and that. And Misty's like, well, he's got all day free a lot of the time, unless I'm doing like mixes and stuff or,
okay.
You know what I mean? Like, but really, like, it's we got the perfect job to be parents, because we got all the days free. And then when we go work, everyone's in bed anyway.
Go on. You know? Sorry, mate.
The only nightmare thing is, it's like in the mornings, do you know what I mean? But
if you've got a good partner, you have to do the handovers. How's it work when you're getting from the club normally? Do the exchange and that.
Yeah, it's not so bad now. When he was like a real baby, I would like, we were like tag team. So like, I would come in at like 4 a.m. and he'd be up for his like morning or night feed.
Okay.
And I'd like jump in and just like, I mean, like take over. But yeah, it's a lot easier now. He's a bit older. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's two. So you can sort of like, he's like turned into a proper human now, you know?
But he must be at the age now where he's running in the mornings. Daddy, daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, it's 6 o'clock. I've been in bed half an hour.
Full on into Space Jam at the moment. He's loving Space Jam. So at the moment, like, he wakes me up and he's like, Daddy, Space Jam. So he used to run downstairs and watch Space Jam and stuff. Yeah. So.
Yes. Sick. I remember that time when Roman's seven now. My son's seven. So when, obviously, I haven't been DJing for almost 2 months now, but when I was, he's at the age now where he knows. I was working last night, so he knows not to come and wake me up in the mornings.
Amazing.
But no, you're right about having a good job for it, because obviously I can work when I'm not in London doing interviews and stuff. I can work from home if I'm doing mixes or creating other content or whatnot.
Yeah.
And quite often I'm doing the school run. Do you know what I mean? So I'll go and pick him up from school, and then we do stuff in the afternoon and that. So
it's mad, isn't it? The perception people have of DJs, like, we're just never around. Do you know what I mean, mate?
Yeah.
But you know, obviously, night times, it's, you know, it's waves, isn't it? Sometimes it's crazy, and other times, like, you'll get like a run where, you know, you won't be doing much during the day. Do you know what I mean? So it's just like any self-employed job, really, I suppose, in a way. But yeah, so yes, yeah. Yeah,
I'm my own worst enemy when it comes to that. I'm very fidgety. I can't do nothing.
Yeah.
So if I've got like a couple of days where I'm like not really got anything to do, I will just create things to do.
Yeah. I've been the same. I think for the first 2 weeks, I was like, this is quite cool. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm just like literally strictly time with Misty and Zion. And then now I'm like getting itchy feet. I'm like, I want to start DJing more. Do you know what I mean? I want to get in the clubs. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I think for the first few weeks, it was just like, I'm just happy to chill. And then now I'm like starting to get itchy feet. How are you guys feeling anyway?
Oh, bro, do you know what? Yeah, I think I've been up and down, man. The first week or two, I was like, shit, the world is over. Like, what is going on? Like, if you said to me 6 months ago, in 6 months' time, every club in the UK is going to be closed, I would have been like, bro, don't be silly. Like, so for the first week, I kind of fell off, man. But I kind of just got in the flow now, man. Like, I'm just trying to, I've said it to Double, I'm just trying to stay creative, really. And that's just distracting me from what is actually going on out there. I'm just trying to keep busy. And obviously I've just been working on this compound stuff, and that is kind of keeping me plugged in, really. Like, obviously I don't have no little ones, so I can just fully engage in this workflow. And yeah, man, and then just see the wifey. And
I checked out on I can't remember, what did you post on last, on the Compound Radio? I did.
Yeah, it's going out on Twitch and Twitch, YouTube. It's going out on all of them for now, but
it looked dope, bro. Visually, it did amazing, man. So my congrats on that.
My guy. I appreciate that, bro. But now I'm good, man. I'm good, though, bro. I can't complain. Like, I'm just as good as I can be in the current situation. Like, it's missing the clubs now, I think. Obviously, not making any money doesn't help either. So, yeah, it's one of them, bro. Like, what about you, Dubs?
Same thing, bro, to be honest. Like, it's funny because all three of us have different scenarios, different situations. Like, I tell you, the biggest thing I'm struggling with is trying to balance what I've set myself up to do and this homeschooling stuff. Like, that's the biggest challenge, because obviously I want to make sure that Roman is still learning and still doing the stuff. His teachers have sent packs to the house, so I'm not creating the work, but I'm having to guide him with it. So calling myself a home tutor, I'm sort of overselling it a bit. Do you know what I mean? I'm more like a teaching assistant. That's right. More like the role. But there's times, like, it's quite difficult if I'm trying to get into something, or if I can't record something at certain times of the day, because I know if he's going to need help, he's going to be asking me what it is. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's tricky to balance, but yeah, I'm not going to lie, I'm missing the clubs, but what I'm not missing is the driving. Like, I do so much. My closest residency is an hour drive away.
Jesus, do you know what I mean? Christ. So,
like, I've enjoyed not driving.
You put the miles in, my bro. I'll give you that. Like, I feel quite lucky that all my spots are within, like, some of them you could walk there, to be fair, and then the other one's like half an hour away. So
yeah, that's not luck, bro. That's intelligence. That's called working smart. Here's me trying to get blooming weekly bookings 200 miles away and 150 miles away. I don't know what I'm thinking, bro.
Yeah, you do put in the work, mate. I'll give you that. Flipping out. Northwest is small, man. So, I mean, even if you're working within Leeds, like around Liverpool, Manny, it's all within like 45 minutes. Yeah,
you've got some dope cities around you, ain't you, bro? Like,
yeah, it's all right, man. And they're all within good reach as well. So there's no like long missions involved, like train 30 minutes or 45 minute drive or whatever. So yeah, it's not too bad. I just don't know, like, after this all settles, I just don't know what to expect. Like, what clubs are still going to be around? Is the scene going to change? Like, how's this going to really affect the way we go about our business, innit? Like,
no one knows, bro. No one knows, do they? That's the thing. Like, no one can predict it, you know?
No, I just hope it doesn't. I'm hearing next year, like next January, February, before we'll get back to the clubs. And I think it's just the unknown, the uncertainty of not knowing what's actually going to happen is where it's making me a little bit restless, because it's all we've all been DJs since forever, innit? It's all we've known.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it's a weird one, man. It's a weird one. But rolling with the punches, our kid. You know what I mean? We've not even introduced Jonesy yet. We've not even given the intro. What's going on? We actually started the podcast without you, bro. We know he was out doing his food shop.
Yeah, we started it. We were having a conversation about something on Zoom, and then I was just like, well, let's just hit record and let's just talk about it. So that's how we started the podcast. I think we were talking for what? Probably about 20 minutes before you popped up. So
yeah, something like that.
Jonesy.
DJ Jonesy, the legend himself.
Welcome to the podcast. It's been, this is your first time on, isn't it?
First time on,
I know we spoke about doing it last year, but there wasn't a time where all three of us were in the same place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And now there is. And I think last time all three of us were in the same room was what? Fresh Island.
Fresh Island.
Fresh Island, mate, yeah.
It was? Jeez. Was that two years ago now?
That was a dope week, bro, wasn't it?
That was three years ago?
I think so, yeah.
I think it's three. Oh, my days.
Do you know what's crazy? I was laughing Misty because, like, my son was conceived the day I got back from Fresh Island Festival.
Come on. Man got home with the itch.
Yeah, bro. I got back.
I rate it.
Funnily enough, I actually was going through some old pictures yesterday or the day before, and I found a picture of us sat down for your birthday at that restaurant. Do you remember? We sat outside.
I remember.
And it was your birthday. So yeah, I found that. But yeah, Jonesy,
that was a really, really, really good week, man. Like that was so fun. Like all the all the like dope DJs got together. Do you know what I mean? There was just like good vibes for the whole week. We got drunk most nights. Do you know what I mean? Like party, and it was good. Do you know what? It was good to go away with other DJs and kind of not have to DJ.
Yeah,
we just party. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Had fun.
So when you think about it, that's probably the first and only time I've ever done something like that with a big group of DJs.
Yeah.
So that's actually sick thinking about it.
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah, I've never done that before or since.
I think we're going to be doing that for a long time now, guys.
this is the best.
How dope was that villa as well? With that villa, do you remember the pool?
That gaff was the one, man. Sick. Jesus Christ. Sick. The good times.
I had the front room sofa, and I remember EXO used to wake me up every morning, like, yo, wake up. I'm like, used to make me breakfast every morning. We'll make us breakfast, do you know what I mean? But I remember him like,
You were winning in that apartment, man, because you had EXO man in there, and he's a banging chef. Like, he's sick with cooking.
Yeah, EXO is the dude for chefing and cooking food, man. I remember he cooked food from Nereth the whole week for us, do you know what I mean, out there.
Oh, we got the shittest apartment compared to yours then. We had nothing going on in ours, guys. There was no cooking. There was no cooking going on. Dodgy micro meals, all sorts, man. We got the bum deal, definitely.
Only I can eat my food because it's not great.
It's not edible.
It's edible, but it's not one of them ones. I'm not offering it up for people. I'm not saying, oh, I'll cook today. Do you know what? I'll make us dinner like da da da. No, it's survival food, basically. I cook.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not very good at cooking, man.
Look at his beard, Jonesy. Come on.
Bro, I just hunt animals and just eat raw animals. But yeah, Jonesy, so let's talk about your background in DJing, actually, for the guys that don't know, like how you got started in DJing, and talk about a bit of your journey. And of course, like, don't be humble. You can drop names and talk about the stuff that you're doing now. Obviously,
we know he's been around the block, Jonesy. Come on, lad, don't be shy.
But it's no small thing, man. You do a lot of stuff with Beats One now and Charlie's stuff on Charlie's show. So,
yeah,
talk, man. Tell us about yourself for the people
from the beginning. From a young age, like, I've always been into I think it started with me playing basketball. So when I was around like sort of 10, 11 years old, I started playing basketball. And from there, I started getting really into hip-hop music, do you know what I mean? So I think like the cultures really go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Hip-hop and basketball culture, they go hand in hand, do you know what I mean? From the way people dress, do you know what I mean? To the music, especially in the 90s, do you know what I mean? They used to go near enough hand in hand. So for me, like, I got into sort of hip-hop around that sort of time when I started playing basketball. And it was around like the sort of first Dr. Dre album, the first Chronic album.
Okay.
So like, it was like, all this sort of death row music. So you had first Chronic album, Doggy Style, do you know what I mean? Dog Pound, like all these like classic albums from the West Coast. And that's how I got into hip hop music. So that was the sort of the start of me sort of get the start of the journey. Do you know what I mean? Getting into hip hop music. And then from there, do you know what I mean? Like it's just like a journey in itself. Do you know what I mean? Like, you start to, you know, learn about the East Coast, do you know what I mean? So then it was like Wu-Tang and KRS and Tribe Called Quest and De La Soul and these sort of artists and stuff. So that was sort of my start into hip hop music. And then when I was going out club, when I got to an age when I started going out clubbing, there was nowhere in my city. So I'm from an area or city called Plymouth. So Plymouth's literally on the other end of the country. We, like, it's the south. So like, it's far. Do you know what I mean?
On the edge of the earth, isn't it? Like,
on the cliff faces.
And when I used to go out, one of my best friends, who's actually my son's godparent, Azu, one of my best friends, we used to go out clubbing, and bro, like, the clubs in Plymouth, no one really played any hip hop music. There was one hip hop night, but it was more sort of like backpacker hip hop. And I went to it a few times, but it wasn't that busy. Like, sometimes you go there and it was hit and miss. But big up those guys right off the gate, because they were the guys that started hip hop in Plymouth in the southwest area. So that was like DJs like DJ Blueprint, XL, Parker, and they had a night called Sure Shot. And they brought a lot of hip hop DJs down, to be fair. They had like Shorty. I know Shorty played down here. Shorty Blitz. And I don't know what other DJs. It was kind of really before my era, but I got the back end of it. And so, like I said, sometimes some of the nights were a bit quiet. And anyway, so I used to go to this other night in Plymouth, a club night. The club was called JFK's. And
JFK's, we had one of them in Manchester back in the day.
Did you?
That must have been a chain thing, man. Wow.
It might have been, yeah. Well, I remember going into the club and like it was always packed and the DJs never played me hip hop and R&B music. And I was like, and it was my passion. Do you know what I mean? Like I'd be listening to all the time in my house and I lived and slept and breathed hip hop and R&B music. Do you know what I mean? And it would hurt my soul going to this club and like it would just none of the DJs would play any hip hop music. Do you know what I mean? So I harassed this DJ. He was the promoter at the time. It was about Andy Howard. And I'd go up every Thursday and be like, yo, you should open the other room and play hip hop in there. And he'd be like, yeah, whatever. And I harassed him. I'd be going back every week. And then one week, he like called my bluff. He was like, do you know what? Like, I'm fed up of you coming up to me. If you can fill that room, right, you can make it work. Like, it's yours. And I was like, all right. And at that point, like I said, I was really into hip hop music and really into R&B music. But I never thought about DJing. Do you know what I mean? Never even crossed my mind. And I was like, all right, cool. I'll do it next week, next Thursday.
Straight in the deep end.
Throw me in the deep end. I thought, and at the time I thought, it can't be that hard. Do you know what I mean? I'm just going to turn up and play music. So I made flyers up. I promoted it from all my basketball team at the time, all my sixth form. All my friends, do you know what I mean? I told them all. I was like, listen,
at this point, you've never touched the decks.
Never touched the decks, bro.
Like, he
got a club residency before he even touched the decks. That's it. Right. Sorry, go on, carry on. I just wanted to make sure you weren't like doing the bedroom.
I had a few vinyls in the house as well. Like what I'd do, there was a shop, a hip hop record shop in Plymouth called Bigger Records. And every now and again, I'd buy mainly CDs, but I'd buy the odd vinyl every now and again as well. Any like albums I was really feeling, I'd buy the vinyl as well. Anyway, so this guy called my bluff. So I'm promoting this night. Like I'm saying, you got to come down. My friend is doing, everyone's champion saying this is going to be the dopest night in Plymouth. Do you know what I mean? This and that. Anyway, so we get to Thursday night, get to the club and people are queuing outside the room before it's open.
Love right? that.
And I'm like, and I start to get nervous. I'm like, shit. So I get there mad early, right? And the promoter at the time and the DJ, the other DJ I was talking about that harassed, Andy Howard, I'm expecting him to be like, yo, this is how you use the equipment, this and this and that. So anyway, so he plonks this like, remember those like CD units, right? And they had trays and they had like, it was like an all-in-one mixer. And
The little jog wheels.
Yeah. Right? So he plonked one of them in front of me, right? With a turntable, right? Plugged in. Because I remember, I didn't even have like, I wasn't even organized, bro. I slung all my CDs into a duffel bag. I remember it was like this Ralph Lauren duffel bag I got free with like, you know, you used to get like aftershave and you get like a free bag. I remember like throwing all my CDs into that, right? And I had like a little bag for my vinyls, turned up. And I thought, he's going to teach me how to use this equipment. I get there and he's like, right, there you go. I'm like, man, you're not going to teach me? He's like, nope, I'm throwing you in the deep end. I'm like, yeah. So luckily, one of my teammates, Pete Holmes, he had done a little bit of DJing, right? So he was there in the queue actually, like queuing up. And I'm like, Pete, you got to help me, bro. Like you got to help me, like show me to use this equipment. So he showed me to use the up faders, and he said, listen, just don't do anything too clever. Just literally like fade the tracks in and out. I'm like, all right, cool. So I get through the night anyway. So the night opens, the room opens, sorry, and then the room's packed. Like the room, that room I'm in, it was busier than all the other rooms, right? And I was just playing tunes, and I don't know how I got through the night, but I got through it.
My guy.
And do you know what's mad is like I've never not DJed from that night. Like I've never not DJed after that night. So, and then from there, like I got the bug right away. I was like, this is amazing. Do you know what I mean? Seeing people like the reaction of, like, imagine people in Plymouth have been starved of, like, I wouldn't say hip-hop, because, like I said, that hip-hop night was running, but especially R&B, like, we're talking, like, golden era. So we're talking, like, 2001. So you had all that golden era of R&B music that no one else in Plymouth was playing at that time. And the hip-hop stuff as well, do you know what I mean? Like, and for me, it was more, I was playing more, like, club hip-hop stuff, and they were playing, the guys at Sure Shot were playing more, like, the sort of backpacker stuff, do you know what I mean? Which I love as well. Yeah. But I've seen that, like, people wanted to hear, like, the sort of more clubby stuff as well, do you know what I mean? And like I said, from there, like I just got the bug, bro. I remember tapping up all the DJs in Plymouth that I knew, that I looked up to, and I was like, "You got to teach me how to DJ." I remember turning up to like that record shop, and there was a DJ in there at the time called Fat Joe. He was spelled PHAT Joe, and I was like harassing him as well, like, "Dude, like you got to teach me how to DJ." And I would just literally, I was spent all my money on vinyls and CDs, and yeah, just like built up a like quite a decent sort of night out of that. Do you know what I mean? And then we moved from the Thursday to a Saturday, and they moved me to the bigger room on the side. It was called the Street at the time. Because basically this club JFK has had three rooms, and the room I first DJed in was like small room, and they moved me to the bigger room in the Street. And it just went from there. Do you know what I mean? Like, just literally, I just dedicated my whole life to, like, I sort of quit DJ, quit playing basketball, and just literally fully focused on DJing. Do you know what I mean? Got turntables, ended up getting turntables, the belt drives. Remember the belt drives that I couldn't afford?
Drives, mate. Flipping heck. I think that's sick, though, the way you learned that, like, so you essentially learned how to be a promoter before you even learned how to DJ at a pretty young age as well, when you look at it. Like,
yeah.
So that must have set you up nice in the long run then, in regards to like being able to promote your own shit.
I did that whole thing for a long time, like flyering, like whenever I get a club would like book me to DJ, I'd be like, yo, like let me know and I'll do some flyering as well. Do you know what I mean? And
okay.
I'll just like try my best to get as many people in the city as I can to the nights. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it sort of went hand in hand really. Do you know what I mean? Like helping promote the nights. Do you know what I mean? And then putting my own nights on as well. To be fair, that ended up coming up, like, as the years went on, you know? But yeah, like just, and I think after a while, like I linked up with a promoter in Plymouth called Jim Fresh, and he had a club night called Fresh City, and he used to run nights in Plymouth and Cardiff. And he used to bring down all the big DJs at the time. So we had like, he used to book Westwood, Chris Goldfinger, Steve Sutherland, Shorty, Heartless Crew. Do you know what I mean? So like all these DJs from the big D, like they were like the kings of that at the time. I still see them as the kings now. Do you know what I mean? But at that time they were like the biggest DJs. Do you know what I mean? And they used to come down and I used to learn so much off them, especially like seeing Heartless Crew for the first time. I was like blown away.
Heartless.
Oh, God. Like Heartless Crew back in the day, man. What a show they used to put on.
Mate. Oh my God.
Like, it was Heartless that made me fall in. Look, Heartless, EZ, them early guys, like that made me like want to do this thing like that. And they did the whole mixing all the different genres together, and they mixed the garage with the slow jams. I remember thinking I was Fonty back in the day, me, but I was trying to do the slow jams with the 138 track. Like,
wait, I tell you what, as a selector, innovators. Fonty was one of the best selectors in the country.
Fonty,
bro.
Fully. Fonty, we want
like, they were the first. They were the first DJ sound I ever seen that played open format. Like Stylus was saying, they would go from like Earth, Wind & Fire September into a house tune.
Yeah.
Or like you said, like a reggae tune into a drum and bass record and make it seamless. Do you know what I mean? I remember, like, honestly, man, like we had some crazy nights with Fresh City. I remember one time the club promoter booked Heartless Crew and Goldfinger and had a clash.
Mad.
It was Heartless Crew versus Goldfinger.
What?
And it was mad. And do you know what? It was the first, and do you know what they did? It was the first sort of time where One Extra were doing club broadcasts. And I remember we had a live broadcast from the club, and it was One Extra's, I think, like fifth birthday. And it was Heartless Crew versus Chris Goldfinger. I'll have to get the audio and send it to you. I swear.
Yeah, that's
bro, dope.
I bet that was a legendary night. How sick.
Legendary, bro. Mad.
I'd love to see Heartless.
Three against one. Three against one. That's a bit unfair. Who won?
Are you mad? Goldfinger, bro. Like, Chris Goldfinger's, I reckon. He can go to war.
You know what? What's crazy is back in the day. So this promoter, Jim Fresh, he used to book all those DJs. And so basically, like this. So going back to what I said about JFK. So JFK's, it got really big, and then the club promoter left and went to the club next door. And Jim at the time actually owned that club, right? Owned this club called Candy Store next door. And we moved from JFK's to this club called Candy Store. And basically, this club promoter, Jim used to book all these DJs throughout the Southwest. And I was lucky that I would get the sort of warm up slots for all those acts. And bro, like Goldfinger had a massive, massive following, bro. Like,
mad.
He would kill it. And what was crazy is I remember doing the warm-ups for him, and Jim, the promoter, would be like, dude, don't play any dance or any reggae music. Like, leave it all to Goldfinger and just play all the current hip-hop and R&B, or not current, but any hip-hop and R&B. You can run any of that, but just don't run any dance or reggae music.
Sick.
I remember doing this gig in Gloucester one time, and I remember playing all the bangers, bro. I remember the time, like, Crazy in Love was like, the biggest track on the planet. I remember playing it like every single big hip hop, like tracks like Anti Up, Nothing, Noriega, all these tracks, Super Thug, all these tracks.
The golden era.
And I remember like the whole dance floor was dead. No one was on the dance floor. Everyone was on around the outside of the dance floor. And I was panicking. What's going on here?
Jonesy dropped his ass.
What it was is like the crowd had such a respect for Goldfinger, they weren't coming to see any of the DJ but Chris Goldfinger. Okay. As soon as Goldfinger got the mic, the whole dance floor like filled up. Do you know what I mean?
Mad.
But yeah, that was crazy. There were crazy times, man. Like,
mad. Goldfinger's the god.
He had some power back in the day, man. No one was touching Goldfinger when it came to like Bashman and reggae. Like,
he was the guy.
I've never seen him live, man. I'm slacking there.
Huh?
I've never seen him live, man. I'm absolutely slacking there.
I saw him live once, but he, he shellers, bruv. Goldfinger was the man back in the day. That's who used to get all of Westwood's dance hall selection. Used to come from Goldfinger. Westwood wasn't fucking all the tunes.
Yeah,
Goldfinger was saying, here's the select, this is what you need to play in your sets when you're doing Bashman. Westwood wasn't finding it. It was Goldfinger selecting for him.
Mad. Crazy. Didn't know
So time frame, that was probably like, so what I was saying about those club nights, that was like 2001 to 2004. Do you know what I mean? So like that was the sort of time where like Jim Fresh, he was booking all these artists, and not just even DJs, artists. This is like Lethal Bizzle when he first sort of broke. Do you know what I mean? Kano, Wretch, all these guys from, do you know what I mean, early sort of inception of those guys. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, like that was such a great sort of learning curve for me, and being around those DJs and artists and seeing the scene grow and stuff. Do you know what I mean? It was amazing, you know. Yeah, definitely. You said that was that. I think the early 2000s was definitely like a golden era for clubbing and for UK music. You know, it put the foundation down for everything that's popping now.
Paved the way.
What do you feel about the current music now, then, Jonesy? Compared to, like you say, that era coming through with your anti-ups.
I love it. Do you know what I mean? I love it. Do you know what I mean? Because like for me, I think we've hit another golden era.
Okay.
For this
era
now, because UK music's like popping in the clubs and everywhere, and then you still got. If you're talking about hip hop, in hip hop terms, you still got your lyricists. Do you know what I mean? If you're talking about US guys, like you got your Kendricks, J. Cole's. Do you know what I mean? But then also you've got like your club music as well. Do you know what I mean? Like Migos, Travis Scott. Do you know what I'm saying? Like it's, you know, and then you know it's, you know, Drake obviously is like the king. Do you know what I mean? Of club music
now,
as
Drake,
well. Do you know what I mean? You know, so yeah, like I'm not trying to be one of those DJs that like goes, oh, I'm only sort of supporting a certain era of music, or, you know, for me,
a fan of
I love
music in general. Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you mess with the UK stuff?
Yeah, definitely, bro. 100%.
Like, I think these days, I feel like.
Yeah, and yeah, true.
You have clubs, bro. UK.
I'd say when I first started DJing, it was probably like, bro, I'd very rarely play UK music. The only UK music I was playing is probably Garage.
You know what I mean? Always throw that little Gary set in there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I remember.
For me, I was never into garage. Like, I was just, my older sister was into garage, but in terms of like clubbing and stuff, I was too young, so I wasn't going clubbing to garage. But for me, the early UK stuff that I was playing in the sets is stuff like Kalashnikov, Jest, right. Skinny Man as well. Do you know what I mean? I played some of that stuff is like not a lot though, very, very small selection of UK hip hop because it didn't bang like it does now. Mm. I mean, so it was literally like three or four songs in the whole night. That was it. That's the only, but yeah, without like Kalashnikov Murder.
Oh, what a record, bro.
Double's gone. Oh, snap. That's why, Dubs. I've got a warning on my screen.
What's it saying?
It says, oh shit.
Come back. It says you've upgraded.
It says we've removed the 40-minute time limit on your group meeting. I've never used Zoom before, you see, so this must be a new thing.
Yeah.
Right, 40 sweet.
Minutes. Bro, we've been here for like an hour and 10 minutes.
Is that,
my calendar.
Is that all we get? 40 minutes and then you've got to buy an account? I thought this shit was free.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I've rinsed all of mine, which is why I made Stylus set this one.
Right, we're out here on pay as you go.
So,
what is going on? Right, I know. Do you know what I mean? Right. Well, I think it's letting us gonna. I think it's gonna let us do this one anyway. It says it's give us a little gift, a little present come up on the screen.
The game continues.
Yeah, man.
The
game continues.
Bro, Kalashnikov Murder, what a record, bro. Like,
absolute banger. I think,
banger, bro,
best UK rap tune ever made.
Bro, is it bad that I've not even heard that record? Is that bad?
Yes.
Bro, listen. I wasn't a big UK music fan like that. I grew up on Garage.
Doesn't matter.
I grew up on Garage and then like old school R&B. Like my mum used to rinse like Motown old school R&B stuff. And then I missed the early UK rap era, man. Like I wasn't in it like that. So
you're not a hip hop DJ in England if you don't know Kalashnikov Murder. That's like
solid,
that
bro.
That precedes gigs talking the hardest as the national anthem.
Really?
It's up there, bro. I remember yeah. Shorty Blitz was the first DJ I hired in ever in a club. Drop that in a club. Do you know what I mean?
Holy shit, I feel so bad right now.
I remember Shorty playing in that club. And Witness the Fitness. That was another UK tune that used to get played in the clubs back in the day.
Yeah, yeah, that's a classic still.
That was another one.
That's so bad. Your signal is shocking, dude.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, bro. It's Richard Branson. He doesn't want us to play properly. Fucking virgins.
Jonesy, you've been at it doing this for a long time, innit? Like, I think between us, like, it's safe to say we're like three of the vets that have been doing this like for a very long time. Right, yeah. we've seen it from the early days, playing with our belt drives. I mean, building little spots within our ends. Like, what would you say is the key to like the longevity of? Like the consistency of we've been out here for the longest, innit? What has been the key for you to like stay on top of your game for so long?
You've got to have passion, bro. Like, because it's
fully.
You know, we've talked about all the ups, but sometimes there's downs. Do you know what I mean? There's tough days, and I think the passion for music always gets me through. Do you know what I mean? If you get a tough set, do you know what I mean? Like, I love playing music. I love playing out in clubs. Do you know what I mean? I love seeing the reaction of people. You know. In clubs and passion for music, bro. Do you know what I mean? And passion for the scene and passion for the art of DJing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, you can't beat the passion.
That's what I'd say. The key of that is, you know, and also not being afraid of breaking new music, and also not being a dinosaur, bro, and sticking to one era of music. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a lot of DJs I've seen like I said before, like they stayed in a certain era. And they dismiss newer music. Do you know what I mean?
I love
the energy of this new music. I love it, bro. Do you know what I mean?
It's not. You know what? It's not just the newer music. What they also dismiss is the new technology.
I was just about to say that, man.
Use a controller, you're not a real DJ mentality. Well, that's actually not the truth. We've had this conversation several times.
Double hates controller DJs.
No. I hate controllers. I don't hate controllers.
I'm joking, bro. I'm joking.
I wouldn't use a controller, but. I'm smart enough to realize technology moves. You know what I mean? Otherwise, we wouldn't be taking photos on a camera phone. We'd be taking it on one of the big boxes with the flash. Do you know what I mean? 100. So, like, technology just moves. Everything evolves. And I'm not against controller DJs. I just don't like controllers. I wouldn't use one for myself. But there are guys on controllers that have absolutely shelled. Do you know what I mean? Like, like I've said before, people get lazy with controllers. That's the thing. But no, I agree with you in terms of don't get stuck. Don't be a dinosaur and get stuck on like, oh, well, it's not real hip hop because of blah, blah,
yeah,
blah. Like, no, it's evolved.
Yeah, fuck off. I hear that. Do you think us coming from the before like pre-social media and stuff, and like you say, having to go out and sell your event on the streets, like flyering, and then now we've got access to all these extra tools. I think that's just even doper. Like, because we've got the old mentality of the street grind, but now we can blend that with all this new tech and all the other outlets that we can use. I think it's sick.
But you know, I enjoyed going out and promoting my events and handing people flyers and talking to people. 100%. I used to love that, bro. Saturday afternoon, sit in town outside HMV, hand people flyers. Yo, come to this event. Tell them about the event. Tell them what music they're playing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think also, like, you get a better rapport with your customers as well.
100%.
They're like, definitely.
Do you know what I'm saying? I think that's what's missing online a little bit. I think, like, promoting now, like, it's easier to a point, but I think, like, you haven't got that sort of that connection.
There's no personal connection in it, and it puts you a little bit out of reach. I'd say you're kind of out of reach with a lot of these punters that you touch on social media when they come, and you don't get that connection, like that family Like when we built Jam, that was built on like family energies, and we would, even though it was in the new age of social media, we would go out and hand deliver our tickets, and that was how we built that brand. And every single person we would meet, and it would definitely help with the energies. Like, and on the night, people were like, yo, what's going on? Like, do you know what I mean? Cause you've had that initial like meet up, and yeah, man, I think that's definitely missing from events and promotions.
And it grows as well. Cause I heard about Jam before I even knew you guys. Do you know what I mean?
Sick.
So it's like one of those things where like you brought this brand up and people have such a loyal following to you guys. Mm-hmm. And it's like a wave, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? You know, we're literally 100. Different ends of the country near enough.
Yeah, that's.
And I heard about what you guys are doing from down here. Do you know what I mean?
That's sick. So I can't even remember when I first met you, Jonesy. Like, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I know we'd crossed paths over. Was it the first link up? Yeah. Was that the one in Nando's? the very, 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 very first one. Yeah. Wow, I seen a picture the other day from that, and we were all baby faced. That must have been a baby. Mr. Jam was in there looking hella young.
There was loads of DJs, man. Play, Mr. Play.
Yeah.
DJ Play, obviously, was the. Was the guy put it all together?
Yeah. Henry. I remember that. Shit, that was old.
Psycho.
I wasn't invited to that one. Yeah, thanks, guys.
Never.
I wasn't invited. I wasn't in the cool gang at that point. It was the year after I got accepted to the Brotherhood, officially.
Sorry, Dubs. Mate.
And we met through Twice as Nice Double, right?
I think so. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Twice as Nice. Flipping heck, that's a brand.
I don't remember the first time we met though. I remember it was on a Twice as Nice event. I just don't remember which one.
Do you know what? Like back, like so, like sort of fast forwarding. Like we used to have Twice as Nice events in Plymouth at Oceania, and that's how I got my sort of breakthrough twice to get into Twice as Nice as a resident. Okay. So, you know, the legend, God bless the dead, Dr. Psycho, he came down and did the first ever party.
Man.
And I think they underestimated Plymouth. They come down.
It's Psycho's birthday today, actually. Sorry,
James. Is it?
Actually. Yeah,
happy birthday, Psycho, man.
Bloody hell, man. Happy birthday.
Yeah,
man,
happy
bro.
Birthday, Psycho. Legend.
Mad.
Like, that's my big bro, bro. Like, same with you, right? Double?
Yeah, man.
That's big bro.
Nice. Get out of the studio, whoever that is.
Say it louder.
Are you finished?
No, I'm not finished. Hold on. Nash has interrupted the flow. Hold on.
It's all good, bro.
Oh, Double's gone.
She just wants to be involved. That's all it is.
She wanted to make an appearance on the podcast.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, man, you can hear you, bro. We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think so.
Hello?
Oh, okay.
You still there, Dubs?
I'm done. I don't know how long it's going to be.
Oh.
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro. Sorry, mate. You're just cutting up a little bit.
Sorry, but I need to change the code on the studio door. Some crazy lady just walked in and asked if I'm done. that's my missus. So you finished yet? But she's finished work today, so she is now on mothering duty, which is all good. Apologies. Sorry, I got distracted. Out. Happy birthday, Dr. Psycho. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, Psycho.
Man.
But yeah, man. He was definitely in terms of Twice as Nice events. I learned a lot from Dr. Psycho. In terms of actually. I would definitely attribute some of my hosting ability to what 100. I saw Dr. Psycho
definitely.
Do. Because in the early days of Twice as Nice, I mean, I think in all events of Twice as Nice, they would have a DJ and a host.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in my early days of Twice as Nice, I wasn't hosting for myself at that point. So I would always get paired with someone, either Minx or Psycho usually. And I learned so much from the way that Psycho would host the sets. I would definitely feel that. What I do now when I'm hosting, I kind of have derived some of it from his style, definitely.
100%. Same here as well, bro. Like, I learned so much from Psycho. Like, do you know what? Psycho is such a 101 where he's the host. Like, Psycho could host any crowd. You put him in a dancehall rave, he'll host Smash the Rave. You put him in a uni rave, he'll smash it. Do you know what I mean? Like, garage.
Like, it just has it in its energy, man.
Any party you put Psycho in, he will rock it. A wedding.
Yeah, he was like a chameleon, man. He could adapt to any situation. That's crazy.
Amazing. But like, so they brought Twice Nice to Plymouth back in the day. And I remember Psycho came down, smashed it. It was Psycho and Ironic as well. So those two guys host and DJ'd. And at the time, do you remember Suzanne?
I wasn't even on the Twice as Nice vibe like you guys. I'm out.
Yeah, I love Suzanne.
Suzanne was down the top. She was, I think, tour managing the tour at the time. So when it comes to Plymouth, she was tour managing. And I remember speaking to her saying, like, do you know what? I love the brand. Like, for me, Twice as Nice was like the brand, the club night. I remember buying all the mix CDs. So the mix CDs had like Steve Sutherland, Spoonie, Shorty. Like, I used to study those mix CDs. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were like my foundation. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I remember saying to Susie at the time, was it Suzanne or Susie?
Suzanne.
So Suzanne. And I was like, I'd love to be a resident for Twice as Nice. Is there any way I can get involved? And I remember sending my mix CDs to her, and she forwarded it onto Steve Gordon. And yeah, like, I didn't really hear anything for ages. And then one time I got a message from, I got a call. I was in Jamaica at the time on a family holiday with my ex-girlfriend at the time, actually. And I remember getting a call, and they were saying, we listen to your mix CDs. Do you fancy doing a summer in Ibiza? And I was like,
sick.
Hell yeah, 100%. Count me
Let's
in.
Go.
So I did. So from there, like, I did a summer in Ibiza with Twice as Nice, and like Double was saying, I learned so much from all the hosts and DJs that summer. Like, you, like, Twice as Nice had the best host as well. Like, you had like Minx, Ibs, Psycho. Mm-hmm. Who else? Am I missing anyone else? Out Double.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot now. They were the three that I worked with the most. Ibs. Yeah. Minx, Psycho. I feel like there was someone else, but I can't remember who it was.
Yeah.
We didn't really see Twice as Nice in Manchester too much. I remember being one or two events. I remember sending endless stuff to Steve Gordon and trying to get involved. And yeah, it never worked for us up here.
Salute to Steve Gordon as well, man. Like, what Steve created with Twice as Nice, Joe and Steve, like, mate, like, you know?
Yeah, they had something, defo.
And that's why I met Double. And do you know what? Like, Double was one of the DJs I was looking and thinking, do you know what? Like, whenever I'd see Double, I'd be like, do you know what? I need to up my game. Like, because Double was like doing it. Do you know what I mean? He was like playing all the parties. Do you know what I mean? Like,
God, Dubs.
You know?
I'm trying.
No, you did, bro. You were still the guy now, but like you were like killing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, with the Twice as Nice stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, doing all the parties and stuff, you know? And I remember Suzanne would big you up all the time. And I was like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's the guy. Like, do you know what I mean? You were the standard at that point. Do you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah, I loved the things I did with Twice as Nice, man. But it's funny because I didn't feel that way at all. And there was probably two parties I did for Twice as Nice where I felt like, quote unquote, like the headliner. But every other one, I felt like I was a support act because I had people like Scotty B was on the lineup.
Legend.
So it's funny you say that because for me, I was looking up to Scotty B. Like, I was seeing what he was doing and I'm like, this guy is doing an absolute madness. Do you know what I mean? And like, I've said it before, again, on an episode before, that's how I learned to maneuver in terms of warm-up DJ coming on after the set. Because Scotty B was around doing 2 hours of every song ever made.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Any song ever made, Scotty B's putting in a set.
He's still doing that now.
You've got to warm up differently. Yeah, I know, but imagine as a young DJ, like, I've got to warm up knowing not to touch the songs he's going to play. And then afterwards, I've always had the rule that if a song gets played, no matter who it's by, if a song gets played, it's done for the night. That's it. It's done. Even if the warm-up DJ blitzes the bangers, they're done now. Like, that's it for the night. I've got to find something else. So coming on after Scotty B, like... And especially when it was Scotty B and Psycho together doing a set. That's it, bro. Like, that's like, how are you coming back from that, bro? But that's where I kind of crafted, that's where I mastered what I'm able to do because I was thrown straight in the lion's den, bro. Do you know what I mean? Like, straight on after them.
I think that stuff helps, though, bro. Like,
definitely.
Like, warming up for Scotty and then trying to not repeat songs. Pressure. Yeah. No pressure.
Because Scotty would run through all genres and play all the biggest tunes through those genres, and you'd be like, I've got nothing to play after.
Nothing left.
but you've got to think on your feet. You know what I mean? I remember hearing Scotty play, and I'd be like, in like the room next door or something, like sorting my crates out, thinking, he hasn't played that, he hasn't played this. Do you know what I mean? And getting all my prepared crates.
You have to adapt
ready.
It on the fly. Yeah, man.
Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, like, Scotty was another one as well. I was thinking, do you know what, Scotty's the, like, you and Scotty were like the DJs. I was thinking, do you know what, like, they're the DJs that were like smashing it, do you know what I mean? We're Twice as Nice. And I mean, I was so blessed to be part of that team. I learned so much. Do you know what I mean? You know, same with you, Double. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were blessed to be around that team, bro. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, because we were, I'd say we were sort of like the resident DJs within that circle, and Policy as well. You got Big Policy up as well.
Yeah.
We were the sort of resident DJs, and Candy as well. Candy was one of the resident DJs. Uh-huh. And I think then we were the sort of the residents, and then you had like the headliners like Scotty, Shorty, Steve Sutherland, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Spoonie. And then you had the garage guys, Artful Dodger, Luck and Neat.
You guys, that's an absolute squad of DJs there. Yeah, yeah, man, bro. It was such a powerful lineup that they had. And actually, that's where I met some of these guys and was able to forge like proper good relationships with some of them. Like Shorty Blitz, for example, was, as a young DJ, before, when I was just DJing in my bedroom, he was my idol. Like, I learned to scratch because I heard a Shorty Blitz mix. Yep. I went out and bought the same record and worked out how to make the same sounds that he made. And that's what taught me to scratch. So my first scratch pattern was actually a Shorty Blitz scratch pattern. It wasn't mine at all. I was just replicating what I'd heard Shorty Blitz do. But Twice as Nice Now, that's put me on a level. I'm not saying I ever got to the point that they got to, but do you know what I mean? Suddenly, like with the overseas bookings, for example, suddenly I'm sat in an airport departure lounge, sat down next to Shorty Blitz or Artful Dodger. Do you know what I mean? And like, we're just chatting like we're mates and we're flying out to Bulgaria or Malia to go and do a show for the night. Do you know what I mean? And that's the...
That's dope.
It's surreal, bro, wasn't it? That was so surreal.
Crazy opportunities, bro. Crazy opportunities they offered me. It was mad.
And the way Steve would put his lineups together as well, like he would think so hard about putting the lineups together.
Yeah. You know
what I mean, like when we did Ibiza, he would make sure like, so we'd have like, so through that summer, we had like loads of great headliners. Like we had J. Cole that summer, I remember. And I remember doing that J. Cole night, I remember what he would do. He would put, so I would do the warm up and then I think J. Cole went on and then he would make sure Shorty was on after J. Cole with Psycho. Yeah. Make sure that no one would leave, everyone would
keep the energy. See that's what you need. You need someone that knows about putting a lineup together. I respect that fully, man. After J. Cole as well, like, come on.
I know. Crazy. That was like, oh, that was sort of
Ibiza as well, man. That's a war zone. That's a hard place to put.
I was gonna say, like, how did J. Cole go down in Ibiza, man? Like,
yeah, really well, bro. Smashed it. I mean, I think that summer we had like gigs as well, Tinchy, do you know what I mean? Skepta. Like every week there was a different headliner, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yeah, like it was crazy, bro. But like the way they put the lineups together. But yeah, J. Cole, bro, went down really well, to be fair. Like it was like sort of, I think it was Sideline Story, J. Cole, so it was just the first album drop, do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
So but yeah, like J. And now he's like megastar, do you know what I mean? But yeah, crazy times, man. Like that was such a great foundation, do you know what I mean, for me as a DJ. Do you know what I mean? Being around those DJs, being around Twice as Nice. And it was surreal, bro. Do you remember? I remember doing the first night I did in Ibiza for Twice as Nice was myself, J. Cole, Shorty Blitz. Like that was the lineup. I remember going on before J. Cole, and bro, like I remember it was the most nervous I've ever been at any gig. I mean, I remember like my whole hand was shaking. Like, I remember trying to put the needle on the record. And
I was about to say, shaking, putting the vinyl on, mate. No pressure. The kids today, they'll never know the pressure of trying to get the needle on the vinyl when you're nervous, mate. Flipping it. Obviously, you got Serato now, so even if you bum it up, it doesn't even matter, bro. It stays on.
Are you guys using Phase yet? Do you have the Phase controllers?
I've got a Phase, yeah.
I haven't bought them yet, but I snapped a needle the other day doing a mix, and I'm like, I've had enough of this shit.
You've got to get
like,
it, bro. It's amazing. I think, like, I was getting teething problems with the first version.
Yeah.
But now I'm into, like, I think I've done the upgrades. It works amazing, bro.
It's good.
Because I was using the club on the first version, and sometimes on the first sort of version of it, it was cutting out sometimes. Not the music, but the signal.
Right.
So all of a sudden, I'd have to, like, switch to one deck, or I'd have to put use a CDJ to sort of switch over and then reboot it again. But bro, it's working smooth, man. I've been doing my mixes now with Phase for the last sort of like two, three months, and it's been fine.
Seamless, yeah.
Say that again, bro.
Are they seamless? Yeah, there's no fault.
Seamless,
with them,
bro. Yeah, seamless. Yeah.
So
am I the only guy that sold out then and not got turntables anymore?
Yeah, you're on CDJs now, aren't you?
I remember putting a post up saying you were going to sell your turntables. I was like, no.
Yeah, I got, bro, do you know what it was? Yeah, it was just more space, and I had an opportunity to get rid of everything, and even the vinyl collection, man. I just kept like a handful of my classics and like
really
stuff that mean to me, and I cleared out, man. Yeah, I thought, like we were saying before about embracing technology, I took the full leap. Yeah, man. Yeah.
But you know what? Somebody said to me back in the day, like, I remember there was a few DJs around. It was like an old sort of, it was a club we used to be playing called Zanzibar, and there was three DJs, and one of the rooms was a house DJ, and they were talking about, it was when sort of CDJs were coming through, and somebody said to this DJ, his name was Murray, his name was, and they were like, oh, you're not going to sell your vinyl? He's like, no, I'm not selling my vinyl. And I remember to this day what he said, and he turned around and said, every vinyl I have as like a memory.
Okay.
And when I pull that vinyl out, I remember when I played that track in a club and the memory I have, and I thought, do you know what? Like, I'm never selling my vinyl.
Mad.
Do you know what I mean? Because I thought,
that's
you know, when you pull that vinyl out, you think, do you know what? I remember playing this track in this club, and do you know what I mean? You know? And
yeah,
I
just, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
I know
guys,
I
said, don't, I know, man. You're making me feel depressed right now.
I'm making you feel even worse. Wait.
Oh, that's actually true, though, man. Because a lot of my old collection was garage related, so I never.
Oh, really... mate, you can't get those tracks anymore, bro.
Yeah, I ripped them all to MP3 and then shifted them as, yeah, bad move.
I have a pile that I've been sorting out. Right, of
this guy is gonna start ripping out vinyls.
Yeah. Every single one of the signed version, every Sick. Single one of these vinyls has like an amazing memory for me. So what I'm doing with these ones in particular, I've pulled them out of my collection, I'm framing them, and then I'm putting them on the wall over there.
Go on, no. Son. Go on.
I can fully, sorry, I was just taking this moment just to show off.
Yeah, you just wanted to flex on us, didn't you?
Flexing.
Oh, you see what I mean?
When you pulled out Tupac, I was like, you got a Tupac vinyl sign? I was like...
No. When he was like seven.
Yeah, me and Pac, man. Yeah, we did loads. I've got that, though.
Wow, dope.
My God.
You need to frame them, bro. I've done the same, bro. Like, when I've gone to gigs and an artist's been there, I always take a vinyl with me to get signed.
Okay, yeah. That's dope.
And like, because you know for a fact, if you pull a vinyl out of an artist, they're going to sign it.
100%.
They know a fan, I mean, or somebody that really takes this seriously. So, yeah like, I'm
that's like, what I did. I was
at a festival with Cypress Hill there, and I got that signed by Be Real and the guys. So, yeah.
Sick. Yeah. So, tell us some more about your journey. So, we know obviously about the Twice as Nice stuff, and going back to what I said earlier, you're obviously close with Charlie Sloth and do stuff for his show on
Beach.
So, how did your relationship with Charlie develop?
So the first time I started doing so the first shout I got for doing radio stuff was, so back in the day, I remember to this day. So I used to do. So do you remember MySpace? Because a lot of younger viewers might not know.
Yes, of course. Right? Of course.
So MySpace. So do you remember MySpace? There was like three tracks on MySpace. You could upload three different tracks.
Yeah. The little music player. Yeah.
So I used to upload mixes on there. Right. So I used to put three different mini mixes on there, right? So I do like three mini mixes, and I put them on my MySpace. I remember one year it was like the second or third of January. I got an email through, right, and it was a lady called Delisa, and she emailed me and said, hi, my name's Delisa. I work at the BBC, and we're doing guest mixes on Mr. Jam's Radio 1 show. Would you like to do a mix? And I was like, is this for real? Like, do you know what I mean? I didn't think, do you know what I mean? I thought, it wasn't an email. It was a DM. It was a DM on MySpace.
I was going to say, this has come through MySpace.
MySpace,
yeah.
Wow.
So I'd never done any radio. I'd never done any mixes on radio, nothing. Do you know what I mean? I used to do a lot of mixes, do you know what I mean? Mixtapes and stuff, and I'd do mixtapes and sell them and stuff in clubs and hand them out to people at college and stuff and uni. But anyway, so I got this DM on MySpace from Delisa, who's working the BBC, and I thought, nah, like this. Do you mean? So I hit her back, and I was like, hell yeah, definitely, like count me in. Like, I'd love to do a mix. And I was like, how did you find out? And she's like, well, I looked through MySpace and I seen your mixes, and I really liked your mixes, and I put it to the team, and we were doing this new mix series on Mr. Jam's show, and we wanted to do a mix. So anyway, so I remember I spent like 2 weeks doing this mix, bro. I made sure like every transition was perfect. Like,
really?
I made sure, like, do you know what I mean? I made it quite open format. I remember throwing in like, I went from like Jay-Z to Queen Victor. What else did I play in that mix? MIA, Paper Planes, I think, was in that mix at the time. Literally, it was really open format. Do you know what I mean? Like, I made sure, like, I wanted to cover all angles. Do you know what I mean? And just show my sort of my versatility. Do you know what I mean? As much as I could. So I remember sending it off, and it got played on Radio One. I remember it got played. I mean, it was when Mr. Jam used to do like the late show. He used to do like 3 till 5 in the morning.
I remember that one. That was when he first joined the BBC. That wasn't it?
Yeah, when he first joined the BBC. So it was on Radio One. It was Radio One and One Extra used to do a co-broadcast. So it was both on Radio One and One Extra at the time. But I remember DJing at a club. I used to DJ at a club called Candy Store, and I remember saying to the club owner, like, dude, like, I got a mix on Radio One at 3 o'clock. Can I go outside and listen to it in the car? I got to listen to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I knew it sound, but I wanted to tell you. So I got in the car, and I remember like my whole car was like all my guys were around me and stuff, my friends, and we were just like vibing in the car park to this mix, do you know what I mean? And it was like 10 or 15 of us. But yeah,
like, the crew gassing him up.
Yeah, that was the start, do you know what I mean? You know? So yeah, so I did that mix for Radio One. And then like it sort of snowballed from there. Do you know what I mean? I started doing more and more mixes for One Extra. Never did another mix for Radio One, but did more mixes for One Extra. So I did mixes for like CJ show, did a few more for like Mr. Jam's Radio One Extra show. Who else? What other DJs did I do? A few other DJs, do you know what I mean? So I get the shout, do you know what I mean, to do mixes quite a lot, do you know what I mean? And then one time, like, Charlie ended up doing stuff on Radio One. So he got a show on One Extra. So he did the rap show, the late night rap show. So it was like I think it was called the One Extra hip hop show, rap show. It was late.
Yeah,
it
was like was one.
One till it was like one till three in the morning, or like
one till three,
11 one till 1 in the morning.
Yeah, it was.
Say that again, bro.
No, I was agreeing with you. It was like a Monday night or something, wasn't it? Like 1 a.m. or something like that, 1 till 3 or 1 till 4.
And I used to listen to it all the time. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was such a dope show. Do you know what I mean? You know? One time he put like a message out saying, if any of you guys want to do guest mixes, hit me up. Any DJs, do you know what I'm saying? Like, hit me up. And I remember hit Charlie up on the email. He sent an email link out all the time. It was like, I can't remember what the email link was, but he sent an email link out. And so I hit Charlie up and he's like, can you do a mix tomorrow? I'm like, all right, cool. So I did a mix. Like,
of course.
Sent off to him right away. And like, do you know what I mean? Like, built a relationship with Charlie that way. Do you know what I mean? Like, just whenever he needed a mix, I just made sure I dropped everything and made sure I did it right away. Do you know what I mean? Sent it off to him. Started doing more and more mixes and stuff. And then one time, Delisa hit me up. So Delisa, the lady I said who originally got me my first mix on Radio One. And Charlie and Delisa were working together on One Extra. They were doing Drive Time, and they were talking, do you know what I mean, about doing a sort of a new part of the show, and it was going to be called Club Sloth. And Delisa hit me up and said, do you want to do a residency on it? So would you know, basically once a month you do a mix for us. And I was like, hell yeah, 100%, like, do you know what I mean? And it was crazy at the time because I remember being in a bit of a low place. I remember like I broke up with a girlfriend at the time, and I was in and like maybe DJing wasn't going as great as it maybe could have been in clubs and stuff. And I remember being in quite a low space, and I remember that was like such a it was like a shining light for me.
A lift,
you know?
Yeah, man. 100%.
Getting that shout from Delisa and doing those like week and monthly mixes, and yeah, like, do you know what I mean, that show grew and grew and grew. I mean, Stylist was another resident for that show as well, and bro, like that tag team.
Yeah, I was the only one that didn't get the invite for that.
No, you did something, you dubs. You did something, you double.
Not as a resident, though. I just got occasionally, like once every 2 years, I get asked to do one, and I do one.
I think there was four. I think there was four of us, wasn't there? And then they would rotate them around. So yeah, but yeah,
I think it was me, you, Melody, Prospect.
Yeah, I think it might have been.
I remember Delisa emailed me one time, and she was like, "Don't tell anyone, but your mixes are the best."
I relate to what Jonesy just said there, because I was in the exact same space when I got the same message, and I didn't think like everything was going too well, and I always had this thing of where I wanted to be on One Extra. It was like a dream of mine, and I'd done this DJ, and off the back of it never really worked out for whatever reason, and then obviously that shout, I kind of give up on it, and I was just like, oh man, my dream's kind of kind of my dreams over kind of thing. And then when Delisa hit me up about the club stuff that was like the same way. It just kind of lifted my whole energy, man, and just revitalized my career in a way.
It was such a dope concept as well, bro. Do you know what I mean? Like having, it was like a club, it was a club not on radio. Do you know what I mean? They sort of 100. Reenacted a club on radio, and it was dope. Do you know what I mean? Really good. Do you know what I mean? They had loads of different DJs across the country, even across the world. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Come in and do sort of guest spots on there. But yeah, it was dope. So I sort of grew this relationship with Charlie, and just, you know what I mean? Like Charlie's like had my back. Do you know what I mean? Since then, you know, just whenever he needs guest mixes and he needs somebody to come in and do, you know, if it's a warm up for a club show of his, or, do you know what I mean? Like, he always gives me this shout. So, you know, I've got so much respect for Charlie and Delisa. Do you know what I mean? Like, those guys have created such a great platform for me as a DJ. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm truly grateful to those guys. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're more than people I work for. They're friends. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah, I was going to say, from outside looking in, it feels like you and Charlie have definitely got that friendship element, and it's a relationship that's Charlie's been like, over years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Charlie's like my brother, do you know what I mean? Like, at least like my sister, do you know what I mean? Like just real good people that I've always on my back, do you know what I mean? And do you know what? The great thing about Charlie, like, Charlie's like one of the only DJs in his position, and Mr. Jam as well, big up Mr. Jam. But he's one of the only DJs in that big position. Like, he had the Radio 1 rap show, do you know what I mean? Like, Drive Time. And he give opportunities to DJs across the country,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's not many DJs that have done that over the years, have they, you know?
We've had this conversation, haven't we, Dubs, about this one.
Every time it comes up, always got to big up CJ Beats because he opened up the door.
Oh,
for
yeah,
a lot of
100% CJ's another one, bro. Big up CJ. That's my brother as well, man. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, man. I see, like, the thing I like what Charlie did, and Delisa, of course, with that show, is open up the club stuff. They had their residence, but then they allowed other guest people to come in. Yeah. And obviously, I was able to, and a lot of other people. The only thing that I felt went wrong with that is that once they'd had so many DJs on, suddenly everyone's a fucking one extra DJ. And when I'm seeing flyers, I'm seeing advertising for people, it's like, oh, featuring one extra. And you know what? Promoters even did it to me as well. They'd put one extra's DJ double. And I used to have to hit them up and be like, you know, I'm not actually on one extra. I just do stuff. Yeah. Just like, and this is where I did extra talent as well, where I actually did like my own live shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, I have to say, like, extra DJ do stuff for one extra occasionally, but like, even not to the point that you guys were, because you were on there like every month. You guys were doing content for them. I was just there like occasionally, but that was the only problem I saw with Club Sloth was that it got, because I feel like quite early in Twitter days, if people would put one extra on like flyers and stuff, the BBC used to clamp down on that quite a lot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they were really quick to shut that shit. Like, that's not a one extra event. Shut it down. Da, 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 da. But like, yeah, I feel like towards the end of it, everybody's a one extra DJ. And for me, it devalued you guys. Does that make sense? Because you guys, I don't mean it devalued you guys, but it devalued the selling point of being a Club Sloth resident. Right. That's what I'm meant to say.
I hear that.
For you guys, you are on there every other week or every 3 weeks doing what you do on a rotation. So you genuinely were proper one extra content providers. You had a schedule, like, do you know what I mean? But then DJ Dave, who just popped up from Blackpool and did his one little crappy mix that wasn't even
what is wrong with this guy?
You know what I mean? And then suddenly he's like, oh, I'm a one extra DJ. No, 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 no. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's,
I don't think that was just down to Club Sloth, though, bro. I think that, because a lot of shows were doing guest DJs. Like, like Jonesy just said, we would jump. I didn't just do Club Sloth. I would do stuff with like Nick Bright and stuff with Jam, and then like jumping around a lot of the other shows. And then we obviously did the extra talent. So we would do. We did like a couple months of live shows, and then me and Double did our Underground Kings thing where we did our own show together. So it was a little bit different, but yeah, it did get watered down a little bit, but.
Too much. It was too. Heaven, the world suddenly was oversaturated with
That's a conversation for another day, mate.
maybe. But, yeah.
So you see you doing the beat stuff now, Jonesy. That's a huge.
Yeah. So when Charlie left Rap on Music and Beats One, like, he gave me the shout right away and said, like, get. I remember the first day it was confirmed, like, he was at Apple Music and Beats One. He was like, get the mixers ready, bro. Do you know what I mean? And again, he's created this amazing platform for me, and I'm just forever grateful, man. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's dope. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get free reign of what I want to, you know, mixes wise. Like, he'll just say, like, do what you need to do. Do you know what I mean? And I'll normally try to coincide with a theme. Do you know what I mean? Whether it's like somebody's birthday or an album, anniversary, album release or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's one thing I'll give you, Jonesy, man. You're consistent with the mixes, bro. The artist stuff, like the artworks, the actual mixes themselves, like A1 every time, my bro.
I got to big up Jake. There's a guy in Plymouth called Jake who does some artwork, man. That's my guy, Jake. So big up Jake as well.
Yo, Jake, if you want to make me some artworks, our kid, give me a shout. Jonesy, do we need Jonesy can plug us in?
Jonesy, another thing I've noticed about what you do is like you're very good at outsourcing stuff. So like, important do you think it is to outsource things? So like you said, you've got your guy that does the artwork. I know you've done a few trips to Cyprus. You come back with some like movies. Do you know what I mean? Like actual proper movies of the trips that you've done. So when it comes to outsourcing the things, like, what's your mentality? Is it because you don't have the ability to do these things the way you want them to? Or is it just like you want to just bring friends in or what? What's your whole mentality about outsourcing things?
Can you say it again, bro? You cut out. Sorry, bro.
I know. Double signal is... Double's on dial-up, mate.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on.
It sounds like a fax machine when you connect.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. It was a proper long-winded question as well. I'm talking about outsourcing things, right? Because I see a lot of DJs, like myself and stylists and stuff, like, I don't really outsource a lot of stuff. I kind of just like to spin all the plates myself. And possibly sometimes it's detrimental to me doing it because I'm trying to take on too much. But what I see you do is like with your videos from Cyprus, for example, when I saw you came back from Cyprus one time with a sick video and like your artworks and things, you get other people to do them. So like, what's your mentality about outsourcing it?
Yeah, I just think like, I think it's just good energy. Do you know what I mean? Like a lot of time, like I've gravitated to these people, do you know what I mean? Just through just organic relationships. Do you know what I mean? Like for me, the video thing, I was influenced by Martin Tootsmith. That's another one of my guys, bro. Like, big up Martin. Martin's created so many opportunities.
He's an innovator in this.
You know, and, you know, big up Martin all day. I mean, like, Martin's one of my, like, close friends as well and a guy that's, like, championed me as well. But so I remember, like, seeing Martin's videos, do you know what I mean, and thinking, like, Martin was the first DJ I remember to see do videos and they were freaking dope, bro. Do you know what I mean?
Serious.
Like, do you know what I mean? And I think the how I got into video was through doing Love Doe in Lincoln. That's through Martin plugged me in with Doomy at Love Doe. And I remember I won a DJ competition with Deltic and Pioneer, and the prize was a trip to Miami. I remember being in Lincoln at the time with Doomy, and Doomy was doing these like dope videos, and I was thinking like, this is sick, do you know what I mean? And I was like, bro, do you fancy coming to Miami with me? I've got this trip in like 2 weeks, you want to come and film? He's like, hell yeah,
let's go and I just grew this patient
with Doomy, do you know what I mean? Like, so I don't think it's anything I've like gone out and like sort of like looked for. I just think like a lot of times there's organic relationships that just like are growing, do you know what I mean, with people, like, you know, and then me and Doomy have just wherever I've had, for me, like I've learned that so much from Martin, like you can't put a price on moments. Do you know what I mean? Like the moments are so important. Do you know what I mean? Like going off subject, if you watch The Last Dance, are you watching the Michael Jordan documentary at the moment?
I've not watched it yet, man, but I'm plugging in soon.
But it's like they filmed the last year of Michael Jordan's basketball career. And it's just like those moments you can't put a price on, man. Like they're priceless. Do you know what I mean? Like getting those moments and documenting them. Do you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
You guys are real dope with content, like filming and stuff and getting that. Do you know what I mean? And but yeah, like, so whenever I had a dope trip, do you know what I mean? Like whether it was, we went to China together, Cyprus, Miami. I made sure like I brought Doomy. Do you know what I mean? Even to a point like it actually, like I had to, you know, I made no money after the gig. Do you know what I mean? I paid for Doomy's flights and paid for him to do the video and stuff. Do you know what I mean? But for me, it was more important, like getting that content. Do you know what I mean? You know, and documenting it, and not so much even like getting it online. That's great. And do you know what I mean? Like and people like you know, bigging it up like yourself, like Double, saying it was a dope video, and I really appreciate that. And big up the video guys, whether it's like Doomy or Sam. For me, it's great to look back on, do you know what I mean? When you're older, do you know what I mean? Like, when I'm an old man,
it's
great to look back on those things. I mean, do you know what? Like, and I think, it's so important for me, you know, like documenting things and getting those moments on camera is so important, whether it's a video or photos, do you know what I'm saying? You know, so I think I learned so much from Martin with that, do you know what I mean? Because he used to document all these dope trips, and I thought, do you know what? I need to do that. Like, I remember a few times I would do dope gigs, and I was thinking, oh, man, I wish I documented that, do you know what I mean? And I don't know how you do it double, because you do everything, like you're, and same thing, you stylist, you're like film and edit and do everything yourself. And I'm like,
like don't do it, bro. Trust me.
Why do you think
we look like this? to be fair, you can't really capture the moments like in a proper way when you're trying to do it all yourself. And it's too, like the mother said, it, spinning all the plates, sometimes it goes against you, man. Like, I love being able to do the vlogging.
Yeah. So I did daily vlogging for almost a year. I moved house during the time I was doing it. So I was without internet for a little while. So I couldn't do it every day, but it was exhausting, man. Not going to lie. Like,
yeah, I'll take my hat off to you for that double. Every day for a year, bro. You are crazy, mate.
Yeah, just the day-to-day stuff. Trying to create content out of nothing was tiring enough. But then when I was going on trips and jumping on planes and all this stuff, like, it was just very difficult to have to capture it all the way I wanted to capture it. But just for example, everything would take twice as long. So for example, there'd be certain shots of me walking somewhere. So like one I remember in Greece, I was walking next to a harbor and you see me walk past the camera into the distance. Bro, I had to walk back and get the camera and then walk again because I left the camera. Do you know what I mean? And it's shots like that that make the whole thing, they make it look amazing, but it's massive effort, bro.
Like Jonesy just said, sometimes it's better to take the hit and invest and then
catch
that moment in the right way. Like you said, he's paid for doing his flights and whatever else and covered accommodation, but that moment to be captured is priceless in...
I feel like sometimes that's the difference between working hard and working smart.
Yeah, man.
Do you know what I mean? Like with mine, I was working hard and putting a lot of effort in, but Jonesy's working smart because he's getting someone else to do the graft. Does that make sense?
Also as well, if you got somebody who's dope at video, like Doomy and Sam Harrison, Doomy, like to me, they're two of the best in the country, bro.
Easy.
If you get those guys to do a video for you, like, that's what they're into. It's like putting us in front of a pair of decks. Like, do you know what I mean? We're ready. We got this. Do you know what I mean? And I think, like, that's their focus. And then our focus is rocking the party. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, you haven't got to worry to think about it too much. Do you know what I mean? Like, I did it one time when I went to China. I took a GoPro and I found it a headache, bro. Do you know what I mean? Like, trying to, like,
That's how double felt for a year.
Bro, like, you know? So,
I hear that.
Yeah, like, I think it's, they're all relationships that have just happened organically. Do you know what I mean? Like I said, like whether it's somebody doing my artwork, like Jake, or Doomy doing videos for me, do you know what I'm saying? So I think that's the key to it. And I think, that's the one,
Jonesy, one of the goats out here, you know.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know about that, bro.
Nah, you are, man. Don't play it down. We can say this.
You can say it, bro.
Too humble with it.
Say it with your chest. I'm the best.
Nah, bro. I look up to you guys, man. Do you know what I'm saying? I think, and do you know what? Like, we talked about the DJ link up thing. Do you know what I love about the community we have now? Everyone's got each other's backs, bro. Like, Volatile was another one. Like, big up Volatile. Volatile started this DJ group on WhatsApp. And like, with Chloe as well. And giving like amazing DJ advice to people. And like, what I think the person who started that was DJ Play. DJ Play started the DJ link up, and like,
two stories.
Like the crew of DJs that are like, it's a community, bro. And it's dope to see, do you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if that was around like back in the day, we were talking about like the golden era, of, like that golden era of like early 2000s of DJs. I don't know if that community was as strong then. I don't know. That's just, what do you think?
No, I agree. I fully agree, man. I think the fact that, I think social media's played a huge part in it. Like the way we can, because trying to reach DJs from the other end of the country and stuff like back then was unheard of, wasn't it, really? You just work within your immediate area, but now you can pull and maneuver, and like you say, Play definitely innovated that concept, and look where we are now, man. Like you say, there's a big family and nationwide.
And I think also as well, like I love seeing what other DJs are doing, do you know what I'm saying? Whether it's you with, you know, doing the dope sort of visual stuff, and do you know what I mean? Like the video mixes you do are freaking dope, bro. Do you know what I mean? I know a few of them have gone viral and stuff as well, like Stormzy one, the Vossy Bop one you did. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that goes hard. You know, hard.
Thank
and I think,
guys.
Like, and I think what it's done as well, it's like, it's influenced a lot of other DJs, bro. Like, I see a lot of DJs that influence Rich, that influence massively from what you did with that. Do you know what I'm saying? You know?
I think, you're making me blush.
And then double what you're doing, bro, with like, not only you're a dope club DJ, bro, what you're doing with like DJ Double TV, bro, like, killing it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, with no, with no big radio behind you, radio station behind you, no big brands behind you, like
no backing, mate. No backing. I don't even have a cameraman. It's just me.
So spinning all the plates, my dude. Yeah.
That's something I wanted to do as a DJ, is do more interviews, bro. But it's so hard being down here. Like, I live like 4 hours from London. So, like, trying to, I did interviews. Like, I did, like, big up Reggie Styles. Like, Reggie Styles got an interview with J. Cole back in the day. I think you did one as well.
Yeah,
Styles,
yeah, I did one as well, man.
I missed out.
Did you not get that one, Dubs?
Interviews at this point. So I missed out on the coach.
Bro, that was when J. Cole was like, he was the baby face, bro.
Love to do this.
Baby face
there with that, man. I got the baddest drop from J. Cole, bro. I still rinse it to this day.
but yeah, like I'd love to have done more interviews, but it was just so difficult for me, like traveling from Plymouth, like well, 4 hours on a train. Like if I want to drive, you're looking at 5, maybe 6 hours. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so true.
It's hard. I mean, like, that's the only thing I find difficult sometimes is the traveling. Like for me, like if I do like gigs in London, like I love DJing London. I love it. Like it's a blessing to be able to play in London, but it can be quite difficult, like traveling up and down sometimes. Do you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
And it can be pricey, man. Like trains are like 150 quid sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Like if you don't book it early enough, you know.
I don't know how the trains get away with these prices, guys. Someone's got to put the foot down. It's like £100 to get to London from Manny. It's
crazy, isn't it?
Crazy. But yo, Jonesy, man, we appreciate you coming on, my dude. Like you're the first guest we've had on in a minute. Normally me and Double chatting rubbish for a couple hours every time. Obviously, now we've got the Zoom running, we're going to try and plug in with way more DJs and try and get more people's stories and, yeah, man, to share a little bit more knowledge. So, yeah.
We appreciate you guys, man. I appreciate you guys and keep doing what you're doing, man. Like, what you're doing with this podcast is amazing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you're doing something that no other DJ and podcast is doing. Do you know what I mean? Focus on the DJs and I think that's really important right now, bro. Like, you know, it's tough times for DJs right now, man. Like,
for real.
None of us are earning any money. Do you know what I mean? Like, we got families and mortgages to pay and all that sort of stuff. And it's tough times. Do you know what I mean? So, you know.
Somebody got to do it. Dubs is going to be homeless if we don't let him go in a minute.
I look homeless already, bro. What are you talking about? But, I'm not going to lie. I have got to go and actually check that my son's still alive and stuff and doing what he's doing.
Nah, it's cool, man. It's cool. You two have got kids. I'll sit here and talk for hours, guys. I'm good.
Yeah. Thanks, man. It's been a long time in the making, Jonesy. Obviously, we spoke about this ages ago about getting you on, but I'm glad that we're able to make it connect now.
Sick.
And let's get you on again to actually talk through a topic with us. We're going to be having guests pretty much every week now. You got something you need to get off your chest? Any topics you want to bring up, bro? Just come on. Just jump on with us.
Count me in, bro. I'm here.
Where can they follow you, Jonesy? Yes. Where you at on the socials, man? Give yourself a plug.
Yeah, all socials. It's at DJ, JONEZY, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
All of them.
Check out the Mixcloud as well. Check out his Mixcloud because he's got some heavy mixes on there.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And then Saturday nights, Charlie Schloff Rap Show, Beats One, Apple Music. As well,
it's not a bad one to plug, is it? Come on, G. Talkover podcast anyway, guys. Spotify, Apple Music. I think this one's going on YouTube as well. We're back on there for the foreseeable. There's going to be a
back on the tube.
Until next time,
hashtag Talkover podcast. Thank you, Jonesy. And the Q&A is actually coming, even though we say every single episode that the Q&A is coming. Wait, let's commit. When are we going to do it? Wednesday night. We'll do it Wednesday night at what time?
Yeah, I can do it Wednesday. Make a decision, bro. I'm about, so you know me.
8 p.m. on Wednesday, we're going to do a Q&A on our Instagram at TalkOverPod. So if you lot have got any questions or stuff you want us to chop up live, then the Talkover. Why am I doing this? Why am I committing? The Talkover Q&A Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. We're gonna be there. So tell a friend to tell a friend and all that good stuff.
Sweet. Cool, man. We'll wrap this up. Jonesy, my dude, take care, bro, and we'll see you soon, man.
Nice one, guys.
My guy.
Bye.
Laters.